Our guest this morning is Dr. Colin Marino, a doctor at Quality Care ER. We had a chance to talk a lot about where we are and what's going on with the coronavirus. We're going to start off really, really basic. And just first of all, what is coronavirus?
Coronavirus is a family of viruses, basically, that typically in the past has caused the cold, the common cold. And there's a new coronavirus in the family that is acting a little bit, it's stronger. It's hitting people a lot harder and causing pneumonia. And it's the coronavirus 19 out of China. And that's the main one that everybody's talking about now, not really talking about the coronaviruses that cause the cold.
One of the things that's been, that's probably turned up the fear factor a notch, but it's actually at where you guys sit, and of course where the CDC sits, we talk about comparing this to the regular flu, and of course that really hurts more people right now. But what you're seeing with this is basically we're watching a live experiment of how a flu spreads, and now we're seeing it like from scratch. But the regular flu spreads like this also, correct?
Absolutely. There's hundreds of viruses out there, and basically they all do the same thing. The flu, as you said, is much more, a problem for people in the United States than the coronavirus is right now. As a matter of fact, we have over 16,000 people have died from the flu this year, and we have very few people in the United States that have died from the coronavirus. I think the number today or yesterday is about six.
Right.
So when you're talking about 16,000 versus six, that's a lot of people that are dying from the flu. Now, the coronavirus is coming. It just hasn't really hit us full force yet. And we don't know how bad it's going to be yet. But we'll see soon.
And just like the regular flu, of course, this is really bad for babies and elderly people, right?
Of course. Anytime you have any kind of virus situation or bacterial situation like this, the sicker people, the older people, the people with what we call comorbidities, which is other medical problems like COPD, emphysema, pulmonary hypertension, bad hearts, those kind of things, those people are at the highest risk. And of course, like you said, very young babies, they're at high risk also because their immune system is not as good. But the average everyday person is going to handle this. The average everyday person that doesn't have a whole lot of illnesses is going to handle this a lot better than somebody that's sick. And this is just like the flu. The majority of those people that are dying from the flu are those kind of really sick people. But that's the same exact thing that's going to happen with the coronavirus.
All right. So this is spread much the same way. How is coronavirus spread?
Well, right now they're doing a lot of testing. The CDC and WHO are testing and doing studies to try to figure out exactly how it spread. But we all suspect that it spread the exact same way the flu is. And that is from respiratory droplets or any kind of what we call fomites or like secretions from the respiratory system that get spread. And the way they get spread is when someone coughs and it kind of spreads little particles out in the air, just like if you're standing in front of someone and they sneeze and you feel that wet spray.
Yeah.
That's really the most likely way that this is going to be spread. Now, that can get on surfaces and you can touch that surface later on and then touch your face, like your nose, your mouth, or your eyes. And it can be spread that way. It will not be spread, more than likely will not be spread through the skin. So you can't just touch it in with your fingers and then you absorb that virus particle and it gets in your skin. It doesn't really work that way. It needs to go into mucous membranes. So if you can avoid touching your face, that is one of the main ways that you can help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. If you can avoid being in front of people who are sneezing or around people who are very sick like that, coughing and sneezing, for any length of time, that is another way that you can help avoid spreading the coronavirus.
I'll tell you something. You never realize how much you touch your face until somebody says, don't touch your face.
Exactly. And then your nose is itching and you want to scratch it. But I tell you, this flu season and with coronavirus coming, that'll be your number one way to stop from getting it.
Now, we did see some containment out of an abundance of caution. Some folks are quarantined in Dallas, whereas Texas has been pretty fortunate up to now.
Pretty good. I think there's a case or two in San Antonio, but other than that, I haven't really heard of any positive cases. Now, I will give you a little caveat to this. All the information that I have and that everybody has is changing every day very rapidly. So some of the information is up to date. Some of it will change this afternoon and some of it will change tomorrow. It's that that progressive at this point.
I know that everybody, both sides are saying don't make this political, yet somehow both sides are making it political. So we're going to look right down the middle from a doctor's perspective here. How helpful, and I'm on it for the first time here, how helpful is, if you've been disconnected from any other information or you want to separate yourself from that, is the CDC website?
CDC website is probably the best information that's out there. And it's really where a lot of doctors go to and utilize to pass on information to patients. It's very good. And if you're going to get information, I would get it from there first. And if you're going to there are going to be people who are going to politicize this and blame, but you know, CDC, of the information out there, they have the best.
Right. And that's cdc.gov, by the way, and they have a handy coronavirus graphic there right on the main page. So you can get right to like the frequently asked questions, which is what I'm working off of today. We don't know. There's been comments about, and this has happened before in the past, warm weather stopping the outbreak. We don't know if that's going to be the case this time, right?
No, we don't know. We have very limited information on this, but the one good thing that warm weather does for people, and it does it every year for us, is it keeps people from being so confined in space together. And that's another way that you transmit coronavirus, flu, and all these other viruses, is that it's cold, so we're all in heated spaces and we're in areas that were close together, and then people are coughing and spreading the germs that way. So the warmer it gets, the more likelihood people are going to be more outside and less close to one another, and there'll be less transmission.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today was we went to Costco this weekend, and it was funny because, and we've been a few times before, but there were four women out front as you went in and took a basket that were wiping down your basket, which, you know, makes some sense. But then there we were, spread to the four winds with a bunch of people. And should you just make sure that you take care of yourself and wash your hands and maybe have some stuff handy to keep your hands washed?
Absolutely. Right now, what they're seeing is the coronavirus is not particularly virulent on surfaces. So if you use disinfectants or hand cleaners, those kind of things, it does kill and wash off the virus. So if you wash your hands for about 20 seconds with soap and water, it tends to clean your hands well enough to get rid of the virus. If you wipe down surfaces with disinfectants, it tends to kill the virus. Of course, nothing's 100%, and
right.
And you can miss things, but that's a really good way to start. And I will reiterate this one more time. Really, really, really don't touch your face. Avoid people that are coughing and that are sick as much as you can. And there's sort of mass hysteria out there about going out and buying masks.
Right. And a lot of people are buying masks that don't work.
That don't work. But the problem is that if you're trying to keep from contracting the virus, you know, or from getting the virus from someone else, a mask on you doesn't really work very well. In the past, in different viruses, we've kind of proven that. We as healthcare, we have very special masks that we use, and we have teaching on how to wear them and how to fit them. And that is really the only case that's going to keep you to help prevent from getting a coronavirus. If you have just a regular old mask on your face, it's really not going to help. The big thing, though, is that if somebody is sick, if we can put a mask on them, that really can help, because then remember that sneeze where you feel that misting and all those particles of viruses flying around everywhere?
Right.
We can really prevent a lot of that. And if people don't have a mask, if they're coughing or sneezing, then putting their face in their elbow, you know, in their jacket, or covering up somehow, preventing that misting of virus particles, that's really what helps. But if you're going out and you want to keep from getting the virus, a mask really doesn't help you because it gets around these masks that aren't very good. And plus, you don't have training for like an N95 mask or something that we use here to actually make it worthwhile.
Okay, I just have a couple more questions. First of all, we haven't touched on, what are the symptoms of this?
It's pretty straightforward. Fever, cough, and shortness of breath are the main symptoms. What I've noticed, and a couple other doctors have noticed, is that some of the data coming out of China in those areas, a lot of people with sore throat, and they have a very low incidence of coronavirus, but that's not really proven yet. But the main symptoms are fever, cough, and shortness of breath.
Okay. And then read an interesting article this weekend of a guy that was actually has gone through it. He has it. And he kind of listed off what his 2 weeks have been. By the end of it, he decided it was a great 2 week vacation for him because he was healthy enough that he was able to beat it. And the other thing is kind of like now where we are, this testing, I know that testing, has not been kind of released wide yet for everybody. And that what we're reading right now is where the tests are available, they're very expensive. Do you see anything to kind of make that easier for you guys to get and maybe make it less expensive anytime soon?
They are going to be coming out with some test kits that are going to come out pretty soon, hopefully. We had a little bit of a setback because the test that they were using was a three-step process, and apparently some manufacturer problems came out, and the third step was missing some coronavirus, but they're supposed to be revising this and supposed to be getting test kits out to everyone as soon as possible. Now, I don't know how long that will take. I hope it's pretty soon. But right now, there is no widespread testing available.
That's one of the reasons why it's so expensive, right? Is there just not enough of them out yet?
Correct. No, there's really not any out for the public. There's some the CDC can test. I mean, they're using stuff like PCR and different testing, but you know, there's some labs around the United States. I think right now less than 50 labs in the United States can actually test for it, and I'm not sure whether they're approving some of these labs other than the CDC to actually go forth and give those results in, you know, not quarantine based off of those results yet. So that's all still up in the air, but it's coming really soon. Now, as far as I don't know if you're interested in that, but as far as a vaccine is considered,
that was my next question.
That kind of rolls into it. But as far as vaccines are, you know, thought about it, it's really going to be a long time before we see any vaccine for the coronavirus. I mean, there's some companies that are talking about having some out next year, but I doubt, just my personal opinion, I doubt that we're going to see it before then.
All right. Well, and the bottom line is this, and this is another, again, the reason why I wanted to talk to you is if you're not in one of the high-risk groups, then you don't have to freak out, and it might just be a form of the regular flu, and go ahead and see your doctor as you would. You don't have to go running to the ER. Although I will say you guys will see somebody for that basis for the flu or something like that as well. Quality care, if I could spit it out, right?
Absolutely. Quality care. We'd be glad to see you. You know, we are asking people to put on a mask when they come in, if they're coughing or you know, sneezing, those kind of things.
Right.
We don't have a test, and nobody else, you know, around us has a test.
Right.
Only the CDC right now has the tests that are available. I think the state's working on some, but we would be happy to help you, especially if you have, you know, shortness of breath, feel like you're getting worse, then you need to be seen somewhere. But people don't need to panic yet. I mean,
right.
I'll be honest with you, the coronavirus is coming, and it will end up being something similar to the flu in the future. We just don't know how bad it's going to be and how virulent it is. But we are going to see more cases, and we are going to see cases in our area. That doesn't mean that you need to freak out, because right now the flu is much more dangerous than the coronavirus.
Right.
And so if you're afraid of the flu, you'd be afraid of the coronavirus also. But my guess in the end is they're going to be somewhere similar to one another, probably going to kill about the same amount of people, usually the sicker, the more infirmed people. But we have to be cautious and do everything we possibly can to prevent the spread of this. And like I said, we already talked about the number one ways that you can do that as a person.
Well, since I have you here, before I let you go, and we talked about the regular flu, you talked about flu shots, maybe this year it might have missed a little bit. And I know that's always, it's always like seven strains, and there's always a chance one or two can get through. And this year that happened more than it did. But does it still make sense to get a flu shot since we're seeing kind of a second round of just regular flu kicking up?
Absolutely. Getting a flu shot can help you now a lot. And the flu shots don't necessarily keep you from getting the flu. But what they do is they decrease the length of the flu that you have it, and they decrease the severity of the flu when you get it. And yes, you can still get the flu. And yes, if you've had the flu in the past, you can get another strain of it. There's a broad categories of influenza A and B, and you can get each one of those at different times or at the same time, but there are also different strands of it. So absolutely, if you get an opportunity to get a vaccine, it does not cause the flu. There are sometimes when you first get it, it causes a slight immune reaction to sort of build up your army in your body. It may make you feel achy and maybe even a low grade fever for 24 hours or so, but it does not cause the flu. And a lot of people say, you know, I don't want to get the flu shot because it gives me the flu every time. That's not true. You either had the flu already or you got it before the flu shot had a chance to work. And it usually takes about 2 weeks to start really working.
All right. Well, I appreciate this time, and I hope you'll, as this thing goes along, maybe talk to us again. We'll get another update.
Absolutely. Anytime you guys are interested, obviously information is changing on a daily basis, and we're trying to keep up with it as well as we possibly can. So feel free to call us anytime. We'd be happy to share the information we have.
All right. We appreciate the time. And again, thanks to Quality Care ER. There, I got it all out right that time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doc. Have a good day. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.